they understand why Krishna has gone. Why has he gone to another place? Why has he gone to Mathura? They understand that he has a duty to perform. And he needs to fulfill his mission on this earth. So even though they understand that Krishna is fully absorbed in his pastimes, but still they are feeling intense separation from him. And because this separation for Krishna is so intense, they're feeling extreme levels of vipralamba. Vipralamba means service and separation. So Yogamaya is orchestrating all of these pastimes so the gopis can feel a heightened sense of ecstasy. And we'll see tonight actually how they survive that ecstasy. It's very beautiful. I read today actually something for the first time. I'd never heard that before. And I'll share that with you tonight. So it describes the how the gopis are able to survive and subsist without Krishna's personal association in this world. So this pastime is increasing the level of vipralamba. Vipralamba means separation from Krishna. So while they're experiencing that vipralamba, they're experiencing their highest ecstasies. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who his appearance day is 2 weeks from now, just a little over 10 days, then that's what he came to experience, the highest level of separation from Krishna. He's actually experiencing the sentiments the gopis are experiencing in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, theoretically, they understand why he has gone. So with their intelligence, they understand he has gone, he had to kill demons, he had to satisfy his family members. So they have these different ideas. But when you are attached to someone, even though you can intellectualize or understand why they're not with you, but if you're attached to them, it doesn't make any difference to the amount of pain that you feel. So that's how the gopis are feeling with Krishna. Even though they know, okay, he has to fulfill his mission and he's in Mathura and he's satisfying his family and like that, the outer dynasty, but they don't feel that lessens their pain. They just feel complete distress upon not being with Krishna. So, why is it that they want him to come back to Vrindavan? It appears selfish. If Krishna is in Mathura, obviously that's where he wants to be. So why do they want him to come back to Vrindavan? Why are they just satisfied with him being there? Because they know that Krishna can only truly be happy in Vrindavan. Krishna cannot experience the same happiness or bliss himself in Mathura or Dwarka. So that's why they want him to come back to Vrindavan. Because I know when he's in Vrindavan, he will experience the highest happiness. So understanding that he will feel that happiness, they want to bring him back. And they understand that everyone else who serves him, no one can serve him with the same level or the same amount of dedication that they can serve him with. So because they're feeling like that, they just want to bring him back. You come back to Vrindavan and you stay here because this will increase your happiness. The others cannot serve you the way we can serve you. All the queens cannot serve you the way we can serve you. You cannot get the same level of ecstasy. You cannot have the same pastimes. And you cannot have Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a mystically beautiful place, and it is so attractive, it surpasses all of the other dhams in terms of its attraction. Just as Krishna is all attractive, Vrindavan is also all attractive. Krishna in Vrindavan, his attraction comes to its zenith or its highest point. Vrindavan itself is so wonderful and so beautiful and so natural, it far surpasses the other dhams. So So they want to bring him back to experience Vrindavan, experience their love and the satisfaction. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially came to teach us. That was his contribution. Any points? Gentle Uddhava is the elder brother of Gada, bestowing on the city women the pleasure that actually belongs to us. We suppose those ladies worship him with generous glances full of affection, affectionate, shy smiles. Leela Mani, you like to read them? Someone else to read them. Someone else can read. It's going to take too long.
The right hand page at the top.
The name was what you know. The name Gadaraja indicates Krishna, the elder brother, Agraja of Gada, the first son of Deva Karthika. She was a sister of Devaki, who was also married to Vasudeva. The gopis, by addressing Krishna in this way, indicate that he now thinks of himself mostly as son of Devaki, the implication being that his connection with Vrindavana has now slackened. Because of intense love, the gopis could not stop thinking of Krishna for a moment.
So there's an implication. The implication is that we're addressing Krishna now that he thinks that he is a resident of the Yadava dynasty, a resident of the Mathura and a member of the Yadava dynasty. So they're implying that you consider yourself to be like that now, but actually we know that you will only be satisfied when you are here with us. So they're implying that if you're a prince in Dwarka, you will be relating to the princesses and eventually you will marry them and you'll take them as queens. And then when they become your queens, they will give you a certain amount of service and satisfaction. But that satisfaction will never surpass and equal the service that you receive from the Brajagopis. So understanding that, then they're implying that Krishna could consider himself a certain way. He considers himself now a resident of Mathura. He can identify himself like that. That's never going to give him the happiness that he truly deserves and that he desires. Only in Vrindavan will he find. This is the essence of the Bhagavatam. The essence of the Bhagavatam is that Krishna is a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, and Krishna will only be satisfied in Vrindavan. And only the pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan can fully satisfy Krishna to the highest level. So, any points? Okay. Sri Krishna is expert in all kinds of conjugal affairs and is the darling of the city women. How can he not become entangled now that he's constantly adored by their enchanting words and gestures? You want to read them?
According to Sita Swami, each of these verses is spoken by different gopis.
So if we look at the particular verse, we're showing that it is showing that the city women will never give the same pleasure to Krishna. Krishna is a cowherd boy. In the city, everything is formal. In the country, everything is natural. So when Krishna's in the pastures, the cows, it's a very natural environment. And the way the people behave, there's not so much formality. In the city, there's a sense of aristocracy. Aristocracy means that we are royal family. So we're very important. and we're very privileged, and we have great power at our disposal. Whereas when he goes to the cowherd fields, the mood is very different there. It's very natural, and there's no mood of subordination. In fact, they generally think of Krishna as being subordinate. Krishna is the one who should subordinate himself to us. He should love us and listen to us. So that is the difference in the mood. So in Mathura, he is considered with Aishwarya. There's more of a mix there. So because of the Aishwarya, then Krishna is considered to be given more respect. But in Vrindavan, the respect is not given in the same way. They'll see Krishna even more as an equal or a subordinate like that. That is the difference in the mood. So we see the gopis, once again, they're inferring that Krishna will never be as happy. He'll only be truly happy in Vrindavan. Any points? Shri Vrindavan Dharma ki.
So all those lilas, they do not have that much significance.
Not as pleasurable. Any other point?
I thought Krishna is always
Then you have to read the Nectar of Devotion. The Nectar of Devotion says, in Dwarka he is perfect, in Mathura he is more perfect, in Vrindavan he is
most
perfect. So if you read Prabhupada's books, you will know the answers to all these questions. Hare Krishna. Okay, please read Nectar of Devotion. I'll send you a text tomorrow. Please read it. O saintly one, does Govinda ever remember us during his conversations with the city women? Does he ever mention us, village girls, as he freely talks with them? Ali, you want to read that?
The gopis are so completely in love with Krishna, without selfish motive, that even in their great disappointment, they never considered giving their love to another. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti interprets their feelings as follows. The gopis might say, surely Krishna has abandoned us because we deserve to be abandoned. Indeed, we are the most insignificant women in the world and have been rejected after having been enjoyed. Still, do we sometimes enter into his memory on account of some good quality of ours, or even because of something we did wrong? Krishna must speak very freely with the city women. He and they must sing, joke, make riddles, and talk about so many things. Does Krishna ever say, my dear city women, your sophisticated singing and speech is unknown to the gopis in my home village? They couldn't understand these things. Does he ever speak about us even in that way?
Any points?
How long are they to even hear about him? In any desperate way, just would like to hear from him or like to understand what he's thinking.
That he's remembering them,
yes,
and speaking about them. This is what we call Kevala Bhakti. Kevala Bhakti means pure bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti, Amala Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti. All these terms are given in our Shastras. This means pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means Ahoituki, Apratihata. It must be without motivation, and the gopis show this to the highest degree. Because they're thinking, does he even speak about us in a disregarding way, even disrespectfully, even offhandishly, does he speak about us? So this is the height of their humility. This is called dainya. Dainya means humility. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami explains that Dainya and Prema are synonymous. You can't have one without the other. You can't say, I love Krishna, but then you don't have humility. You can't say, I have humility, but then not love for Krishna. You have to have both for it to be actual Dainya. I mean, to the truest definition. You know, we practice some humility to some degree. We practice either false humility or genuine humility to some degree. But it's not complete humility. And that is because we don't have prema, we don't have love for Krishna. If we loved Krishna, we would have complete humility. Yeah? According to how much we love Krishna, it's how much humility we can gain. So because they're completely infatuated and completely disposed and completely attached to Krishna and focused on Him and absorbed in Him, then because of that absorption in Krishna, then they have the highest humility. Because they think we cannot live without Him. Even if He just speaks about us offhandishly, that's enough. At least He remembers us. You see, sometimes we're quite the opposite. The guru comes, we have to get all the attention. He has to look at us. He has to say something to us. Imagine if the guru said something offhanded to us. Oh, so and so, you know, like that, like that. We would be, oh, so hurt and so mortified. Well, the guru is not treating me nicely. He's not giving me enough attention or respect. Like that. We'll feel like that. And gopis don't feel like that. To them, that was enough. Even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Well, Chaitanya rejected. I think it was Mukunda. No, there was a different pastime. I think there's a pastime, I think it's a devotee called Mukunda. And he'd been preaching some Mayavad philosophy at that. Lord Chaitanya rejected him out of my association. And then, so he was taken out of the association of Lord Chaitanya. But he was very distraught, completely distraught. Now I've been rejected by Lord Chaitanya. So he asked the devotee, can you ask him when he will accept me again? So then they came and they said to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya said, I will not see him for 10,000 lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And they went to him and said, what did he say? He said, I'll not see you for 10,000 lifetimes. And then he began to dance and chant, yes. In 10,000 lifetimes, I will see him. Well, that is love. That is attachment. We can't understand these things properly. We don't have that level of attachment. We're just worried about whether we get enough jalebis at Rath Yatra or... Hare Krishna. That's our fault. We're not worried about what Jagannath is feeling while he's on the Rath Yatra cart. We're not absorbed in his consciousness. And then he sits there in the tent. We're not worried about him. We're just off getting jalebis or speaking some prajalpa or watching the rock band or eating watermelon or whatever we do. We're not absorbed in this level of consciousness. But the gopis are absorbed. They're always thinking of Krishna. Did he say anything about us? Does he even remember us? That is their absorption. We forget Krishna. At least we're things that are connected to Krishna, so that is good. But we're not on this level of absorption, not even close to this level of absorption that the gopis have. Any points?
Isn't this the same as
Gurudev? No, two different types. One is material, one is spiritual. Prajalpa is not the same as what the gopis prajalpa is. Two different things. It is not the same. One is spiritual prajalpa, one is material prajalpa. Same what?
See, in the verse, the 21, not 20,
When the lover humbly states that although she is unworthy of attaining her beloved, she cannot give up hoping for a conjugal relationship with him. Such verses spoken with respect for her beloved message are called.
Thank you. Two different things. When we're at Ratha Yatra, I don't think we're talking. When we're at Ratha Yatra,
okay.
I don't think we're speaking Parijalpa, Sujalpa, Vijalpa. I don't think that's what we're speaking about. It's a totally different thing. Does he recall those nights in the Vrindavan forest, lovely with lotus, jasmine, and the bright moon? As we glorified his charming pastimes, he enjoyed with us, his cowherd girlfriends, in the circle of the rasa dance, which resounded with the music of ankle bells.
Vishnu Chakravarti gives the following deep realization about this verse. The gopi knew that no place could be as beautiful as Vrindavan. Nowhere else in the universe would one find such a charming scene as the Vrindavan forest, which was scented with pious flowers and illumined by the full moon's light reflected from the serene waves of the sacred Yamuna river. No one loved Krishna as much as the gopis, and thus no one else could understand him as well. The gopis rendered intimate service to Krishna that only then they could perfect. Thus the gopis were distraught to think that Lord Krishna was bereft of Vrindavan and bereft of their service. Free of all material lust, they were overwhelmed with disappointment because they could not give Krishna happiness by their loving service. They simply could not imagine Krishna enjoying anywhere else as he did in Vrindavan in their company.
Any points there?
Devoid of self-gratification.
They just attach to Krishna, they want every happiness for him.
Not for themselves.
Yeah.
Sri Aurobindo had to say that even if some gopi in Mathura, can give them that happiness, we were able to give them. And it may be acceptable that we give.
What's the point?
Even if some gopi, somebody in Mathura, some lady can give him the happiness that we can, we are able to give him, then his stay may be justified, but they are convinced that
Yeah. Are they right or wrong? Are they right or wrong? Yeah. You're right. You just passed your exam.
I think when I read that, it's also a really strong reflection of what they're thinking about in the group.
Yeah.
All the time.
Anything else?
I was listening one lecture about the position of the gopi. And in that lecture, the speaker was telling that even Lakshmi wanted to attain the intimacy, proximity with Krishna, but she could not because Krishna wanted her to go to the gopis and accept the mood of the gopi and the bodies of the gopi and that bhav. But she could not, she was in that Aishwarya bhav and she could not give up. So even for Mother Lakshmi it was impossible. And Krishna wanted her, Lakshmi, to go to approach Vrajakunari first than any other.
Good. So we're seeing something which is actually technically beyond our capacity to understand. Because everything which is being spoken of here, it's on such a high exalted level of consciousness, we can only have a superficial or limited understanding of it. You know, we're dealing with the highest levels of prema. We're just still on the platform of anatta nivritti, so we're removing our anattas. This is, we're talking about mahabhava here, the highest levels of love for Krishna. So the gopis cannot imagine what it must be like for Krishna that he does not have the opportunity to do the rasa dance. Because he cannot do rasa dance in Mathura. He can dance on the roofs with the wives, but they can't have the same level of rasa or pleasure that he gets on the banks of the Jamuna in Vrindavan with the gopis. He cannot experience the same thing. So they're trying to imagine, how can he live like that? Why can't he come back? What he wants. We just want to facilitate that for him. We want to serve him in that way. Bring him to Vrindavan. So they can't understand. They can't imagine. And that's actually what they're thinking. They're thinking how much suffering he must be going through that he cannot experience the pastimes that he enjoys the most. Sava rasa sava. The essence of all leelas. As we said when we studied rasa leela, when rasa leela takes place, all of Krishna's other pastimes come to witness, they personify, and they come to witness the rasa leela. So they can't imagine, how can he live without rasa leela, without dancing? On the full moon night on the bank of the Jamuna with the gopis, how can he live without that? So they're just feeling pain because they're thinking, how much pain must he be going through? How much is he feeling separation from us and from Vrindavan? Will that descendant of Dasharatha return here and by the touch of his limbs bring back to life those who are now burning with the grief he himself has caused? Will he save us in that same way, just as Lord Indra brings the forest back to life with his water-bearing clouds? But why should Krishna come here after winning a kingdom, killing his enemies, and marrying the daughters of kings? He's satisfied there, surrounded by all his friends and well-wishers. In the commentary, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says that these verses are being spoken by different gopis. This particular verse, he says, is spoken by a particular obstinate left-wing gopi. But he does not name who it is. So what should we presume? Most likely Lalita. Someone who's very obstinate. Radharani is less obstinate than Lalita. He doesn't say, but we would presume it's probably Lalita is speaking. So why should he come here after winning a kingdom, killing his enemies and marrying the daughter of the kings? He's satisfied there, surrounded by all of his friends and well-wishers. So she's saying, why should he come here? Let him stay there. He's putting the gopis through so much difficulty. Let him stay there. We don't need him. Tell the rascal if he wants to come back, then he can subordinate himself to us, to the queen of Vrindavan. Otherwise, tell him to stay there. If he comes on our terms. That's the mood of Lalita.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why does So there's a display of contradictory thoughts. Like on one hand, they're so humble, they're putting themselves as inferior than the queens. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, they're thinking Krishna's not gaining the highest pleasure. So is that just because of the pain of separation, it's driving them through many emotions? Or is that a variety of gopis' approaches? Or is that...
It's both.
A touch of madness?
It's all. All those things. But... when the gopis speak, like when Radharani speaks to the bumblebee, most of the verses in that section, she's speaking in a very defiant way as a left-wing gopi. Then the last two verses, the mood changes because the bee goes away. And then immediately humility overtakes her consciousness. So she goes from like an arrogant type of mood to a very humble mood. So sometimes they like that. They'll speak very strongly. But then they realize, oh, what if he hears this, and they completely change their mood. So it's all those things.
And is she displaying that anger to please Krishna, or is she displaying that anger venting?
It means that it's the emotions they feel. It's by the arrangement of yoga maya. Mm-hmm. So we've all been created with personalities. And Krishna has many associates, and it's explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar Devotion. In the spiritual world, Krishna has friends who are very introverted. They're very quiet, they don't say much. And then he has very extroverted friends who are always joking and laughing, or like, you know, Madhu Mangala is like that. So he has all different types of friends. But then by the arrangement of his own Shakti, then the Leela Shakti, then certain friends have certain moods. So the mood that Radharani and Lalita have, that is the mood which gives him the most pleasure. So they feel like that. That's their inherent nature. It's inherent for Lalita to be hot-tempered. It's inherent. She can't change her nature. Like all of us, we've got personalities. We don't change dramatically. Yeah, we change a little bit, but dramatically. Like, you know, when you come to me, you're going to get a certain thing, right? And you don't know what you're going to get because I've got different moods, right? Like, sometimes I'm joking around and other times I'm really heavy. So I've got, like, different moods. But in general, right, we generally know what we're going to get with all the devotees. You know, well, a particular devotee, you know, okay, this devotee's kind of jokey kind of devotee, this devotee is serious devotee, this devotee is quiet, this devotee won't stop talking. You know, everyone's got like their mood of that. So we know in general. So by the arrangement of the Leela Shakti, then Lalita has a particular mood. Right? So she's hot-tempered. That's her nature. Right? And that gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. And Srimati Radharani is also very, she's defiant. Krishna, that gives him more pleasure. So that's the inherent nature of the associate. So that mood does not change. Does that clarify?
Okay, I understand. That is from Goloka Vrindavan. In Goloka Vrindavan, the Lord and all the gopis are there.
Yeah.
So that is past time going on in Goloka, eternal Goloka, divine Goloka. So when they come to different universes to play in the past time, so they exist in the eternal Goloka. Also, the past things are going on, and in the Bhumi also, Bhumi Leela also, the past things are going on, both places.
Simultaneously.
And these gopis, because they are named Nitya Siddha gopis and Sadhana Siddha gopis, and everybody is named, who have descended. Do all the gopis descend from Goloka to play in the past things, or only few gopis?
No, it means that the principal gopis come when the past times are there. Rupa Goswami says there's 800,000 who are always liberated. And then the rest are tatashta, which means they can fall. Not they will fall, but they could fall. But 800,000 never fall.
So the daughter of Sri Rukmini, Vivaha has already happened in the translation. Looks like he is married to daughter of
Yeah. Guys, what does he write?
He writes that the Gopi is referring to Rukmini. Mentioned in this translation, daughter of kings.
Yeah. And then what does Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur say?
It looks like that Rukmini is married to Krishna by this point in time.
But he says something else. He says this must be a different, like Manvantara, or a different day of Brahma. Because in this day of Brahma, he marries Rukmini in Dwarka. He doesn't marry any queens. In this day of Brahma, you don't hear about him marrying the queens in Mathura. It's when he gets over to Dwarka that's he married. But here, it says that he's already married Rukmini in Mathura. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that was another day of Brahma that pastime took place. But because the gopis are eternal, you know, they may bring things from different appearances. Right? So they say, oh, he's married to that princess. But he hasn't actually married her yet.
Prabhupada, he said that once you go to the spiritual world, you don't fall down. So how can the only 8,000 copies remain there and the others don't fall?
Prabhupada said it's possible to come back again.
I thought you don't come.
Prabhupada said generally it does not happen.
In Gita he said that once you go there, you don't come back.
So the devotees asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, generally it does not happen. It's not impossible. Just like all of us, right? Sometimes we do stupid things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? And then we do the same stupid thing again.
Yeah.
So it's possible. We're doing it down here, so we could. You have to be very silly to do it. Which verse are we on?
46.
The great soul Krishna is the lord of the goddess of fortune, and he automatically achieves whatever he desires. How can we forest dwellers or any other women fulfill his purposes when he is already fulfilled within himself? Indeed, the greatest happiness is to renounce all desires, as even the prostitute Pingala has declared. Yet even though we know this, we cannot give up our hopes of attaining Krishna. So, even here they're mentioning that he is the husband of Lakshmi. Who is the husband of Lakshmi?
Narayana.
Narayana. So what are they effectively saying? They're saying he's God. Effectively, that's what they're saying. They're saying, this boy is God. Right? So, in other words, they know he's God. But then in the next verse, they say, being attached to him just causes misery. Right? So better we renounce the attachment. But there's only one problem. We can't. So imagine how they're feeling. Right? You want to renounce attachment to this person, but you can't. Right? So that's, imagine what's going on in their consciousness, in their hearts. That's why their vipralamba is the most intense. Right? Their separation from Krishna is the most intense. They don't want to be attached to him. But they can't stop being attached to him. Right around in the gopis, I say this in many places. Right? Don't talk to us about Krishna. We don't want to hear anything about him anymore. Right? But the problem is we can't stop talking about him. We can't. Radharani even sometimes just says, I don't want to see anything black. Right? Even though they go to put kajal on their eyes. Right? Kajal. No. Not kajal, it's black. I don't want kajal on it. Then all day I can just see black next to my eyes. Right? When the bee comes, tell that bee to get out of here. When there's a dark cloud in the sky, tell that dark cloud to go away. Right? Anyone wears dark clothes, right? Don't wear dark clothes in front of me. Anything that reminds her of Krishna, she doesn't want to see.
Anyone having dark hair?
Even dark hair. So she doesn't want anything that reminds her of Krishna, but at the same time she cannot forget Krishna for a moment. So we have to meditate on this. This is the what do you call that?
Paradox,
yeah. And also it's the tension. The spiritual world is all about tension. What's the material world about?
Attention.
The material world is about tension, right? Everything down here is tense, right? Do you ever get tense?
Yeah.
In this material world, it's tense down here, right? But this tension causes misery. The tension up there causes ecstasy. There's a difference there, and even that's hard to understand. That has to be meditated upon very deeply. How can tension cause ecstasy? But actually it does. Prabhupada said, I think he said it in Melbourne, he said, go to the place where they're selling Krishna anxiety and buy as much as you can. Where do they sell Krishna anxiety? 197 Dang Street. Not all of ISKCON is actually that intense. You go to the other temples in Australia, they're not as intense like this one. I've been to the there's even many of the temples in ISKCON aren't intense. For some reason, Prabhupada left more intensity in this temple. It's actually a fact. If you get involved in this temple, it's a lot more intense than other temples. Not that. But then if you get a taste for that, you can't live without it. Yeah, I know for myself. Like, yeah, a lot of my friends live in Mwollumbah, our other farmer, but you know, a lot of my friends are there, the weather's beautiful, all the thing, but it's not intense. And every time I go up there, all my friends say, oh, come and stay here, come and live here. It's not intense. I say, no, I'll stay in Melbourne. Ah, Melbourne's too intense. That's why I stay here, because it's intense. The spiritual world's like that, it's intense. So you have to get a taste for that. Prabhupada said, buy Krishna anxiety. Go to the place where they sell it and get as much as you can. Because you're going to be anxious in this material world, so you have to change that anxiousness which you're getting in this world to the anxiousness for Krishna. Right? Because that anxiousness, that gives you ecstasy. All the anxiousness in this world just, they have a saying, it does your head in. You know that saying? Something we say in Australia. It's doing my head in. If you hang around the Australians, you know, you'll hear these things. Okay.
See, Prabhupada, the Krishna starts the emotion so much that sometimes it makes Radharani unhappy.
Yeah.
That time when she said, I don't want anything back.
Yeah.
But after that, when he, you know, makes her happy, then she wants back.
Yeah. Who can bear to give up intimate talks with Lord Uttama Shloka? Although he shows no interest in her, Goddess Shri never moves from her place on his chest. So why can't they give up Krishna? Because Krishna is too sweet. Prabhupada gave the description, actually it comes from the previous acharyas, I think. Krishna consciousness is like drinking hot sugar cane juice. So it's burning you, but you can't stop drinking it. That's what devotional service is like. Too sweet, we can't give it up, but it's burning us all the time. Your false ego is being destroyed all the time. All right, so we're getting purified, but we can't stop. That's what Krishna consciousness is like. You know, in the spiritual world, it's so intense that they can't stop because Krishna is too sweet. So whether he makes us brokenhearted by not being present before us or handles us roughly by his embrace, still he is our Lord birth after birth. That's what's being taught here. That's where Lord Chaitanya, when he speaks that verse, it's coming from this section of the Bhagavad Gita. That's his mood. It's the mood of Srimati Radharani.
In terms of proximity, we are now discussing two personalities who are closest to Krishna. One is always residing on the chest, which is Lakshmi. And in terms of proximity, Uddhava stayed with Krishna the maximum in the whole Leela, in whole Krishna Leela. In the maximum duration, Krishna was closest to Uddhava. So there are two personalities, Uddhava and Lakshmi, closest to him. But still, Lord is focusing on the gopis, which shows the power of Vipralamba over Sambhava.
Yeah, and he sends Uddhava to become the disciple of the gopis. Yeah, and Lakshmi does austerities in Vrindavan, on the other side of the Jamuna, to enter Vrindavan. But she can't get the qualification, so she has to stand on the chest. She's in the Rasa dance, but she's only there as Sri Vatsa. So she sees it all, but she can't enter the actual dance. Dear Uddhava Prabhu, when Krishna was here in the company of Sankarsana, he enjoyed all these rivers, hills, forests, cows, and flute sounds. All these remind us constantly of Nanda's son. Indeed, because we see Krishna's footprints, which are marked with divine symbols, we can never forget him. So all this is called Udipan. Udipan means? Stimulations to ecstasy. Now that is an Udipan. Udipan is something that you see, reminds you of Krishna, and then that brings all the ecstasy out. So they see Govardhan Hill, they see the Jamuna, they see his footprints, then that just brings out all the ecstasy attachment. O Uddhava, how can we forget him when our hearts have been stolen away by the charming way he walks, his generous smile and playful glances, and his honey-like words? So Balabhacharya, he says, Maduram, Maduram, you know, these verses spoken by Balabhacharya, famous in Vrindavan. The Balabha Sampradaya is like, they're like our cousins. We're Gaudiyas, they're Balabha. So very, very similar. Mood is a little different, but it's very similar. Like that. So Balabhacharya has that famous, everything about Krishna is sweet. His glance is sweet, his words are sweet. He said, everything is sweet about Krishna. Yeah. So that is the nature. Yeah. Once you taste his sweetness, you cannot forget him. Yeah. It's like now, go away and try to forget Krishna. It's not possible. And we see there's devotees in ISKCON in history that have gone away, really, really tried to forget Krishna, and it's not possible. Can't forget him. Even if you try to, once you taste that sweetness, you cannot forget. He's there all the time. So better to just cooperate and remember. Even if you go away, he's just going to come and get you. You know, Prabhupada says he comes and gets your seeker. He forcibly pulls you back to him. So it's up to you. You can either just cooperate, or else he'll just grab you and pull you.
See, they said that they have got two qualifications. If you surrender to him, he never leaves you. And the other thing, he never sees any defect in you.
Never see any defect in you?
Any defect.
Yeah. He sees the defects. Because he's purifying us in the defects all the time. He'll never leave you, but he'll rid you of all the defects.
But isn't that, you know, when the Sati says to her father that my husband never sees any fault in anybody?
Yeah, on one level he sees like that. But on another level then he purifies us of the faults.
Though he's also suggesting here that if these Udipanas remind you of Krishna, you put a blindfold around your eyes. So that you don't see these items which remind you of Krishna and use your intelligence to take your mind away from it.
And then what is the answer?
We can't do it. We can't use all our intelligence fails when it comes to the beauty of Krishna. So intelligence, jnana or intelligence fails when it comes to madhuri.
Because they said he stole our intelligence. We used to have intelligence, but he took it. So now we don't have any. So we can't stop thinking of him. Even though our intelligence tries to tell us, don't think of him, we can't, because the intelligence is gone. We just think of him constantly. And like you said, he says, blindfold yourself so you don't see all these things that remind you. So that doesn't matter, because inside, we can't stop thinking. So it doesn't even have got the blindfold on, it's just in here, it just keeps going on. So. O Master of the Goddess of Fortune, O Master of Braj, O Destroyer of all suffering, Govinda, please lift your Gokul out of the ocean of distress in which it is drowning. So at this point in time, they become a little desperate. So it says at this point in time, they stop speaking to Uddhava directly. and they face towards Mathura from where they're standing, and they begin to speak to Krishna directly. So even though he's not physically there in front of them, they begin to speak to him. So at this point on, they're speaking directly, come back, come back. They're feeling intense separation from Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Krishna's messengers, having relieved their fever of separation, the gopis then worshipped Uddhava, recognizing him as non-different from their Lord Krishna. So it's an important point. We have to offer respect to the person who gives us Krishna. This is the guru. Guru is the person who gives you Krishna. So we have many gurus. Vandeham, Sri Guru, Sri Yuta Padakamala, Sri Gurun, Vaishnavams Cha. So there are many gurus. Anyone who is giving you Krishna is your guru. We have different levels of gurus and different levels of commitment to guru. But anyone who gives you Krishna, then they are their guru. So we must offer respect. So Uddhava here is offering respect. Sorry, the gopis are offering respect to Uddhava because he is giving them Krishna. And in the purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that they worshipped Uddhava, recognizing him as non-different from the Lord. This word non-different in the Sanskrit, it also indicates that the gopis are so close to Krishna, it's as if they've become one with Krishna. We feel like this. When you completely love someone, you feel like you're one person. Like when your closest people, in your lifetime, you probably only have a few people who you get this close to. Usually your wife or your husband, usually. And, you know, some very close friends. They know everything about you. There's nothing to hide. You know, my wife, she knows everything. Right? So you come, you speak to her, she'll tell you a different picture. She says this to me all the time. When you go to the temple, they all treat you this way, but I know you're like this. It's two different things. Because they know you intimately, inside, outside. Only a few people, you know, you reveal everything to them. Not in your life, you don't tell everyone. You know, maybe a few people, maybe the guru, like that. You give them everything to. So then when it comes like that, it's like you become one. Because there's nothing to hide anymore. It's like you're one person, in a sense. Or one but different. So the gopis and Krishna are like that. They're one with him, but they're different from him. That's why they know. They know he can't be happy there. They know that he can only be happy there. Because they know him. And that's what they say. They say, the queens can serve you, but they don't know what you like. They don't know what you prefer. They don't know. Not like we know. That's how close they are to Krishna. So it's oneness in service. Oneness in consciousness. They actually say that. They actually speak like that. They say, we've become one with him. Not in the Mayavad way, but they say oneness. Okay, so this verse now we're about to read is very important. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an amazing commentary, a long commentary on this verse. And I read things for the first time today I've never heard before. Amazing understanding of Krishna's relationship with the gopis in particular, the most exalted devotees. Uddhava remained there for several months, dispelling the gopi sorrow by chanting the topics of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Thus he brought joy to all the people of Gokul. So this is the point. When you're separated from someone, how do you unite with them? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Right? By hearing and chanting, which brings remembrance, that's how you unite with someone. And therefore you are never separate from that person. Right? So there is no separation between Krishna and the gopis, because by hearing about it, they are with him. Now something incredible takes place at this point. Uddhava is speaking to them. It's not mentioned here in the Bhagavatam. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur clearly mentions. Something else takes place now. That's why we need the commentaries of the Acharyas. And Prabhupada points this out. The purports are more important than the verses. Prabhupada himself says that. The purports are more important. Because what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, it's not even in the Bhagavatam. Now what takes place here is that he has given messages. Krishna has given a message to Uddhava to read to the gopis. Right? But what is given and written in the Bhagavatam, there is more. Now Uddhava begins to read things which are not mentioned here in the Bhagavatam. Now Krishna says at this point, he says to the gopis, Uddhava is reading and Krishna has written it. He says, now everyone close your eyes. And he says, just like when the cowherd boys, the forest fire was surrounding us, and what did he say to all the boys?
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes. So he says now to the gopis, close your eyes. He's not even there, but he says, close your eyes. As soon as they close their eyes, they go into meditation on him, he appears. Right? And then he stays with them. And by the arrangement of Yogamaya, like when he does the rasa dance, one moment expands to a million years. And then he is with them for a night of Brahma. And they dance, they go, they do a rasa dance. And he unites with them fully and satisfies every desire they have. And that all happens in one moment. So Uddhava says, close your eyes. They close their eyes, and then he sees they go in ecstasy. All he sees from his point of view is they go in a state of ecstasy. But for one moment, he doesn't understand what takes place, and then they open their eyes again after a million years of being with Krishna. And they thank him. They say, you are the most munificent person because you gave us Krishna's association. So for 1 million years they were with Krishna. So this is how they survived the separation. Because by the Krishna's mercy and Yogamaya's mercy, they weren't separated from Krishna. Krishna comes. And this is the entire point of the entire Bhagavatam. We must feel separation from Krishna to receive his association. And when you feel separation, you will get his association. And when you have his association, you're not separated from him. That's how the gopis managed to survive. So this is a mystical part of the Bhagavatam. This verse in particular is mystical. I only read these things for the first time today.
Actually, the deity is not different from Krishna.
Yeah, of course.
So why didn't they have a deity of Krishna and do the worship?
They did have, there were deities.
Deities of Krishna?
Yeah, if you go to Govardhan Hill, and there's one deity called Hari Dave. Yeah. Anyone seen Hari Dave? We didn't see him.
Yeah, Manasi. Did you show that to people?
Next to Manasi Ganga. Yeah. No one seen? You've seen? Good. You've seen? Yeah. Okay, so if you see that deity was worshipped directly by the gopis. So, very, very powerful.
What's the name of the
TV? I'm not telling you. It's on the lectures. You have to listen to the whole 1 hour again, and then at the end, you'll hear the man. Or you can ask Sri Chaitanya, he's merciful, he'll tell you.
What's the book you're reading?
From Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. 10th canto commentary. His name is Hari Dave. Yep.
You guys mentioned Gokul. But yep. Geographically, Gokul is different from Vrindavan.
Gokul means Vrindavan. It's just a general name. Like that. So it's meaning Vrindavan. Okay. All the days that Uddhava dwelled in Nanda's cowherd village seemed like a single moment to the residents of Braj, for Uddhava was always discussing Krishna. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says the word Uddhava means one who gives bliss to others. Well, there's the name Uddhava. So he is giving bliss. So for 2 months he stayed in Vrindavan and everyone was in bliss. Because they felt Krishna's presence. When you hear and chant about Krishna, you feel his presence. When you hear and chant about Guru, you feel their presence. When you hear and chant about the Vaishnavas, you feel their presence. And there's many pastimes in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes where Lord Chaitanya appeared to the devotees. There's many times when that took place. And Krishna appears. Because when they hear and chant about him intensely enough, then their personalities appear. That servant of Lord Hari, seeing the rivers, forests, mountains, valleys, and flowering trees of Braj, enjoyed inspiring the inhabitants of Vrindavan by reminding them of Lord Krishna. So he went on parikram. For 2 months, they just wandered around Vrindavan. And he said, what happened here? What happened here? What happened here? And they said, oh, Krishna did this here. Oh. So you know when we go on parikram, Vrindavan, it's just following in the footsteps of the previous devotees. That's what they do. Going on parikram, that's one of my favorite services. I just like to go to Vrindavan. Actually, one time, one devotee said to Prabhupada, he said, what do we do when we go to Vrindavan? Right? What do we do when we go to Vrindavan? One time, Prabhupada said, just wander. Prabhupada said, just wander. Just wander through Braj. Other times he said, don't leave the temple. So you have to understand it means just wander under guidance. That's what it means. If you wander by yourself, you might get confused. But if you wander under guidance, then. One more verse. Thus seeing how the gopis were always disturbed because of their total absorption in Krishna, Uddhava was supremely pleased. Desiring to offer them all respect, he sang as follows. So it says here that he was very pleased seeing them always disturbed. Yeah. So it's different to what takes place in the material world. You know, our purpose in the material world is not to disturb someone all the time. That's considered to be abominable activity. But in the spiritual world, what it means is that he's speaking about Krishna, but that just makes their emotions more intense the more they hear about him. And they become more and more blissful and ecstatic. And they cry in separation, and all these emotions take place. So he was, in one sense, you could say disturbing them or making them restless, but it was increasing their bliss. So these are the highest levels of Krishna consciousness and the highest levels of association. So we just pray to Prabhupada that we can understand these things. Srila Prabhupada ki.